Well, I'm glad to be here with you this morning. I'm always glad to be with you, whether I'm sitting in the pew or whether I'm up here. And I got my stool. I do know how to stand up, but I found out that Jesus sat down and taught him. You agree. Amen. Two things about Jesus. He sat down to teach. The other thing, he didn't have a sound system, but he probably picked spots that had real good acoustics. Amen. How many could use a little bit of teaching on grace and faith this morning? All right. I'll start out with my wife, Wanda, found something yesterday and gave it to me. She knew I was going to talk about grace. I'll read it to you. It says, Jesus forgave a thief dangling on a cross, knowing full well that he probably converted out of plain fear. The thief would never study the Bible, never attend synagogue or church, never make amends to those he had wronged. He simply said, Jesus, remember me. I think there's a scripture in the Bible that says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Jesus promised, today you'll be with me in paradise. It was another shocking reminder that grace does not depend on what we have done for God, but rather what God has done for us. And everybody said amen. Look in your Bibles, if you will, or on the screen. I suspect it's up there, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2. And we're just going to have a little, take our time in teaching the Word of God this morning. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 to begin with, and you know this. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is a gift of God. We've been saved by grace through faith. We've been saved by something and through something. Grace is God's part. Faith is my part, or your part. And that verse 9 says, not of works, lest any man should boast. And verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath ordained that we should walk in them. We're saved by something, as I said, and that's grace. We're saved through something, that's faith. And not out of the works that we do. How do I know that this is true? I know it because the Bible says so. Anytime I ask you, how do we know that's true? Because the Bible says so. We're Bible believers. I had my shirt on, and my daughter Leslie made it for me. And on the back yesterday, I was wearing that. It's got 2 Corinthians 4 and 13 on there. It says, as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We believe what the Bible says. Grace is power. It's God's power to save us. And as I said, faith is what receives God's power to work in us. Say it again, just to make a point. Grace is God's part. Faith is my part. I can't do the grace for God. He's not going to do the faith part for me. We need to talk about what the word saved means. And in this good Bible teaching church, you all already know the answer to that. The Greek word for saved in the New Testament is the word sozo, S-O-Z-O. Many people believe that saved or salvation is just getting your sins forgiven and going to heaven. The church is full of people today in this town and in this county and all around here that if you'd ask them what it means to get saved, that means you get to go to heaven because your sins get forgiven. But there's much more to salvation than that. The Greek word for saved or salvation, it means a whole lot more than just getting your sins forgiven and going to heaven when you die. It means, this is from Mr. Vine's dictionary. It means deliverance, saved. And how do we get saved? We get saved by? We get saved by grace, or which same word is favor, same word. And we get saved through faith. That word saved means deliverance from danger and suffering. That's the first thing Mr. W.E. Vine said about it. Deliverance from danger and suffering. We've been having a lot of bad weather. There's folks been having earthquakes. There's folks been having floods. And every time something like that happens, we hear a lot of people suffer, a lot of church-going people, a lot of people that love the Lord suffer. And we hear testimonies about other people that took some faith action and depended on the grace of God and got delivered right in the midst of all that danger and suffering. By the way, my title is Noah Found Grace. There was a worldwide flood. Everybody was going to die. Did Noah die? He got delivered, didn't he? What did he get delivered out of? Danger and suffering. He got delivered out of a worldwide flood. He made it because something special happen. It means deliverance. Saved means by grace through faith. Saved means deliverance from sickness and deliverance from poverty or lack. That's part of salvation. Aren't you glad you're saved? Don't you want to be saved all the way? It means deliverance, not only, this is important, because there's a lot of grace getting taught right now. And I'm a grace preacher, and I'm thank God that some emphasis is being put on grace. I'm a grace preacher, but I'm also a faith preacher. And there's a lot of folks preaching grace without the faith part. My title is, we'll see the scripture in a minute, I'm trying not to get too ahead of myself too far. Saved means deliverance not only from the penalty of sin, that's going to hell, but also from the bondage of sin, that means the inability to quit doing it. You remember the woman caught in the act of adultery, don't you? All right, a lot of grace preachers like to preach about that and say, and Jesus said, neither do I condemn you, go in peace. And if they're just totally a grace preacher and hadn't learned that there's a faith part of it, they forget to tell you, he said, don't do it no more. What's going to help her not do it anymore? That same grace that forgave her is the same grace that's going to give her strength to not do it anymore, whatever you were doing. It delivers you not just from the penalty of sin, but also from the bondage of sin. People that say, I just can't help it. No, you can't, but God can help it. God can help you if you'll receive it, act on it. That word saved or sozo means wholeness, spirit, soul, and body. Pastor Gary had a thing he said about that, and I don't remember exactly, but it was something like nothing broken, nothing damaged, everything working, nothing lacking. That's what we're talking about. That's salvation. And how do we get that? By what? By grace. Through faith. All right. Y'all are getting it. I can see that. Everything, and also the word saved, Mr. Vine includes this. The last thing he says in the definition of that word sozo, he said it includes all the blessings bestowed upon us by God in Christ. Every blessing we get is included in salvation, and everything we receive from God is by grace through faith. By his grace through my faith. Okay? All right, I got three main points if I get to all three of them. And this is unusual for me. I teach this in homiletics in the Bible college. You need an introduction. Well, you just had that. And you need three main points. Well, you're about to get those. I don't always do that. A lot of times I just, like Terry was talking about somebody's singing or whatever, just wherever it takes me. Sometimes I start with a scripture. But we're going to talk about grace must be found. We're going to talk about then grace must be accessed. And then if we have time, we're going to talk about grace must grow. Grace must be found. Genesis chapter 6. If you will go there, and I suspect I didn't tell them which verses, but I know by experience, I'm glad to see Mr. Donnie Tadlock back there at the controls of that computer. I know I'm in good hands. And Leo was doing a fine job over there, and now we got Mr. Baker back there as well. So Genesis chapter 6. Now, this is the flood. Now, was it the last time? Yeah, a couple of times here. I got up here and did y'all the timeline. You remember that? We started over there in the corner with Adam and Eve. That was year zero. And then we went across this way, and we got to the cross at 4,000 years, and we got to where we are now out here close to the wall at 6,000 years. But back yonder, about 1,650 years from Adam and Eve, was a man called Noah. People reading in there, particularly in the book of Genesis, They reading and they turn the page and they think, well, that was yesterday. No, that was 1,000 years ago. And then they try to pick out, create all this theology out of what's in between what got said here. God left out 1,000 years worth of information and you're going to try to figure it out. Let's just forget the guesswork. I think it was Will Rogers that said, it's not what the part of the Bible I don't understand that worries me. It's the part I do understand that worries me. But so God made Adam and Eve and Genesis chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4. Now, understand, he lived at 930 years. So it has a while. The first four chapters of Genesis are about Adam and Eve and the raising their family and so forth. And then in chapter 5 of Genesis, God carries us through, going all the way back to the beginning, he carries us through about 1,650 years of time in one chapter just by saying he had this son, he was this old, he had this son, he was this old, he had this son. Chapter 5 of Genesis covers almost 2,000 years. 2,000 years, by the way, is when Abraham came along, or Abram. So we start reading. We might need to go get the old sound system back. I'm going to stand up here a minute, make me taller. Genesis chapter 6. It tells us in verse 1, it came to pass that when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives and all which they chose. And God said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for he that is also flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. This is when, I understand up to this point, folks are living to be 900 years old. It had started decreasing from Adam. But God said, based on this, if I let these people live 1,000 years, there ain't no telling how much trouble they can get into. I'm going to limit their life to 120 years. That is still valid today. Somebody's thinking, oh no, the Bible says, God said we just get to live 70 years, and if we do real good, we get to live 80. That was written in by Moses in the Psalms while they were in the wilderness, when God had limited their life, that you could, all this generation has to die off. They were limited to 70 to 80 years. But we go bend back to, we're supposed to be here 120. Go ahead and count on it. Go ahead. If you get to about 103 and you're getting bored, just tell the Lord, I'm ready to go. Let me out of this mess. He'll honor that. And I'm going to go on down about verse 5. I'm not skipping over too many. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me. That's King James I'm reading. That repent just means God's going to change his mind. I shouldn't even made these people. me and the Son and the Holy Ghost and the angels were doing fine with all this trouble. But it says in verse 8, but Noah, everybody say, but Noah. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That word in Hebrew and also in the Greek, the same word is translated grace, also means favor. We could say Noah found favor. That's what grace is. By favor, get saved through faith. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, I thought I got a new revelation on this about 3 or 4 weeks ago, because one day that thought came to my mind, Noah found grace. And the thing I thought was, you know something? I believe most of the preaching I've been hearing, and even kind of what I've kind of thought about this myself, I kind of thought grace found Noah. Are y'all with me? Yeah. But it don't say that. It didn't say grace found Noah. It said Noah found grace. Amen. Now, if grace was going to find Noah, now, where does grace come from? That's from God. If grace was going to find Noah, since God is not a respecter of persons, grace would have had to found the whole bunch of them. But no, Noah was different. Something about this man, he found grace. All right? And it says in verse 9, these are the generations of Noah. And it's going, Noah was a Verse 2, Noah was a just man. That's just a little note there in my Bible too. Excuse me. These are the generations of Noah. Verse 9, Noah was a just man. Some translations say a righteous man. In other words, he was in right standing with God. How? By grace, through faith. I pointed out when we did this nice time long across the wall here, Jesus went to the cross up there at about 4,000 years after the beginning. And if you'll back up just 1,250 years from that, Moses was here and God gave Moses the law. And it was only 1,250 years out of the whole time that God's people have been on this earth that they were ever under the law. People don't know that today. They still think they're living under the law and they try to do that. But when Jesus went to the cross, he nailed the law to the cross. That doesn't mean we don't live right, because the law is not just summed up in those Ten Commandments. All right? He was perfect or righteous in his generation. Before the law, they were right with God by grace through faith. We know Abraham, by faith, his righteous, he was counted as righteous because of his faith. God, it was God's grace, God's favor. And then from the cross on, by grace through faith. Noah was perfect in his generations, and he walked with God. Now, I checked that yesterday on several translations, and a lot of them include this, and so I just pulled up the one out of the Amplified. It says, Noah walked in habitual fellowship with God. What does that mean? That means he's back to where Adam was before he messed up, walking and talking in the garden with God in the cool of the day. And walking and talking, and I told Wanda, I was thinking about telling her, sharing a little bit of this with her. And I said, I think, every once in a while I tell her, I get a thought and I say, I think I'll write a song about that. And then I start singing some song that somebody's already written, and I say, shucks, somebody already wrote that song. So I thought, I was going to write me a song about it. And he walks with me. Andy, what else? And he talks with me and he tells me I'm his own.
Yes.
All right. So Noah walked with God on a continual, habitual basis. They were in fellowship. He walked together in fellowship with God. And then we're going to go down to verse. And so we know from that song, two things we know from that song. If you walk with God, he'll talk with you. Another thing we know, that God's name is Andy. Andy walks with me, Andy talks with me. But you can just leave that. That's not on the test. Forget that. Actually, his name's Howard. Our Father who art in heaven, Howard be thy name. No? All right. Don't hurt to have a little fun as you go along, okay? No, but Noah was walking with God, and so God talked to him. In verse 13, and God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them from the earth. Verse 14, here's when Noah found grace. Here's when Noah found favor. If you were in a burning building, and most everybody in there is going to die, and the voice of the Lord speaks to you and says, don't go out that door because it's on fire out there. Go out this door. And you do what that voice told you, and you go that way, you just connected to grace. Grace was in that word God spoke to you. Now, how about the folks that went out that door? I believe God was talking to them and they didn't know how to hear from him. I can call any of y'all on the telephone and I don't have to tell you who I am. I just say hello, and you about got me right there. Why? Because you've had some fellowship with me, but now some strangers that just had seen me a time or two and all that, I call in and they want to know, who is this? And they might not. So what I'm saying is, they might be good people that go to church and all that, they've never learned how to listen to the voice of God because they don't spend enough time hanging around with him to get acquainted with it. God still loves them. He's probably said, not that door, not that door. And you think somebody just said, knock that door down and go out. He said, here's what God said to him, make an ark of gopher wood. And that's translated other places, cypress. Anybody familiar with cypress wood? It is extremely heavy, and it's the best thing you can build a boat out of. Cypress grows in water. And my daddy had a man make us a cypress boat one time, and man, that thing, we couldn't hardly get it on the trailer. But it was a fine boat, I'll tell you that. God told him what to make it out of. He told him about, he described the rooms he needed to put in it. I'm not going to read all these verses. He told him how long to make it, how high to make it, how wide to make it. And you can see up one up in northern Kentucky that's built to these specifications right now. And he told him to put a window in the top. The only window he had was in the roof. And I think it was Marilyn Hickey that used to teach this, that that was so Noah only had an upward view. He couldn't see the problem. He didn't have a view of the flood. He just had an upward view. He could see God. He could see hope up there. And put a window in it and all that stuff. And so God gave them specific plans of how to build that boat. You've seen me come up here, those of you that come here, and I'm not leaving the visitors out. You can keep up with us as we talk. But I've taught about God has plans for us and bring a big old roll of house plans with me. And said, this is what plans are. People think Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans he has for me, declares the Lord. And you think, oh, well, God said he's planning on everything being good, so everything's going to be good. No, the plan is do this, do this, do this, do what I told you, live, follow my instruction and everything. That's the plan. Live out the plan and everything will be good. So he gave him the instructions. And you know what? When God talks to you and God tells you how to do something and all that, and we know grace was contained in God's word, he told Noah how to be saved. I'm a how to do it preacher. God told Noah how to be saved from the flood. He told him how to be delivered from danger and suffering. What do we call that? We call that sozo, saved. That word saved in church, you ask the question in typical churches, what is it? If you're crying out and say, I need to be saved, and I say, and then we make arrangements, and you say, what just happened to you? I got my sins forgiven, and I get to go to heaven. Well, do you think you could get healed of that problem? Well, no, I don't believe that'll work. Now, listen, but if you're out in church, people turn their brains off, because out in the river, if you're out in the river about to drown, you know what the word saved means when you holler out, save me, save me. Save me, and I got one of them floaty things with a big old long rope on it that would reach you, and I say, I forgive you, and they say, that ain't enough. Save me out of this mess I'm in. Are y'all getting that? Save means not only to forgive you, save means to get you out of the mess you're in. You're about to drown in that stuff. You need somebody to pull you out of it. Good gracious, a lie. God said, build a boat, and here is the plan. Now, what would be a real good idea? I'm not going to get to that yet. God has now, by grace, done what? Listen to this. I put a little two stars by this. In speaking those words to Noah, build the boat, and here's the plan. God has now, by grace, done what he is going to do to save Noah from the flood. God has now, by speaking to him and telling him what to do, God has done what he's going to do about Noah getting saved and delivered from the flood. There's no use in Noah thinking that he's going to get salvation any other way than follow those instructions. God spoke to him, told him how to do that. So what does Noah now need to do? He needs to, by faith, do what God said. And my definition of faith is believing God and acting like it. Believing God and acting like it. And then we get down to verse 22 of this scripture, and it's an amazing thing. If you could write you a verse 22 on every time God talks to you, you'd be in good shape. I'll tell you that. What does verse 22 say? It said, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him to do. He did it. Some translations say he did, and it's kind of in the Hebrew, the sense of it is there. He did everything exactly, precisely the way God told him to do it. Every detail of that boat was built based on the plans God gave him to build it. God knew what he needed. And he did exactly what God told him to do. So did he get saved from the flood? Well, yeah, he did, didn't he? And how did he get saved from the flood? By grace and through faith. He got saved by God's grace and Noah's faith is how he got saved. Look at somebody and say, Noah found grace. Now tell somebody else, Noah found grace. All right. Some of these things I'm doing repetitiously on purpose because I have learned that repetition is one of the best tools of a teacher. I learned that. Who would know this name? I learned that from a fella. I was down at Living Word Church on 601 a lot of years ago, and there was a fellow ministering there by the name of Ron Kahn. You remember that name? I knew you would. And I heard him say that. The best tool of a teacher is repetition. And boy, that sunk in with me. He said some other good things as well. But Noah found grace. God expressed his grace to Noah by giving him personal instruction about how to survive the flood. Now, you know what? When there's probably bad things in our, most of us still got some years to live. I don't see anybody here that looks like they're 119. But there's liable to be some hard times here and there to get through. But I believe that God's grace, if you learn how to access God's grace and find God's grace to start with, you can come through things that other people are not coming through. Amen. It might be financial problems. And you'll figure out, how does this work? I mean, you get over in 1 and 2 Kings, they was widows that didn't have a chance. But because what did God's grace do? He sent a prophet. They said, she said, I just got enough flour and oil to make one biscuit, and then me and my son are going to eat it and die. And he said, give me a biscuit first. Give me the first half of it. Now, you know, preachers would get run out of town for doing stuff like that nowadays. They'd get on Facebook, man, and that would be it. It took that poor widow's last biscuit. But why did he do that? Because God sent him down there exactly to, that was the plan for that woman to survive. The plan was give away half of what you got. Even though, I mean, what she had, she wasn't going to live anyway, but another couple hours, if that's what she was counting on. And you know what? She did what the man of God told her, what the prophet told her. Now listen, the prophet's ministry is still alive today. But primarily for a believer, God is going to speak to you. A prophet might come along and confirm what God has already said to you. Don't just start giving away your last biscuit to every preacher on TV that's preaching that message. There was one a while back. He's never disappeared off the scene now, but that's the only sermon he had, was about the widow's last biscuit, and we're supposed to send it to him. But at any rate, but God's word brings grace. It brings instruction. It says Noah found grace. The Hebrew word for found lets us know. I'm not going to break down all that Hebrew word, but it lets us know that Noah found grace because he was actively looking for it. He found grace because he was found is an active verb. It means you're putting some action into it. He didn't just stumble across it one day. Grace didn't find him. He got out there and found it. There's about, if you think that's the only time anybody's going to talk about finding grace, there's about 43 verses in the Old Testament that mentions finding grace or finding favor, as well as there are verses in the New Testament. One of them we'll look at is in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. I'll just give you that because you know it. Hebrews 4:16, it says, therefore let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and that we may find grace. Didn't it say find grace? We'd get the mercy. We show up at the throne of grace, we get some mercy. But then we find the grace. Where'd we find it? At the throne of grace. Where's the throne of grace? It's not a physical location. You don't have to go to Jerusalem. It's a place where you're in fellowship with God. It's a place where you're walking with God. It's a place where you're worshiping God, where you're in prayer. You will find that grace. And all of a sudden you'll know what you need to do. And you might not hear a voice. You don't need to hear a voice. You'll know what you need to do. We receive mercy and we find grace. Grace must be found, and the Bible tells us what we must do to find something. It says in Matthew 7 and verse 7, you don't need to put that up. I didn't even give it to you. It says, y'all are smart Bible people. I'll give you the blank. Do something and you shall find. Seek. That's good. I at least heard you. What? What you got to do if you want to find? Seek. You ever play hide and go seek when you was a kid? How many ever found somebody without seeking? You want to find grace? You got to seek. Want to find grace, you have to seek. How do I seek? Go to the throne of grace. In other words, get in God's fellowship. Walk with God. Let him talk to you. And then you can sing about it. I'm going to need one volunteer, so I need Cecil to come up here. He just volunteered. And what I want to tell you is, just come on up here on the platform. And somewhere around up in here, Cecil, there is a container that has grace in it. And I just want you to see if you can find it. It's just, it's somewhere, it's on this platform somewhere, in front of you, behind you somewhere. And I'm going to let you see if you can find something that's got grace in it. He's looking. Cecil is looking. Well, now you might need to dig a little deeper.
Okay.
You might need. Yeah, that looks like. Well, don't say grace, but let's see what's in it. So unzip that thing, see what's in it.
Oh, it's scary.
And you have to pull one corner out of the box. Pull one corner out. And that box is
grace.
What is it? What's on? Show them what's on that box. That's grace. Grace is a container. Grace has healing in it. It has financial blessing in it. It has forgiveness in it. It has peace in it. It's got all kind of good stuff in it. And it's for ours for the having if we find it. Now, you found grace, hadn't you?
I did find grace.
Well, I tell you, there's good stuff in that grace, and it's for you, Cecil. So just help yourself to it.
I can't get in. It's locked.
You what now?
It's locked.
It's locked.
It's got a combination of
it. Well, you've got the grace, man. All these grace preachers have told me when you find grace, you got it. That's it. No, but you have to access that grace, right?
Yes.
All right. Now, who do I need? Who do we need? Terry, you're a smart man. If this thing's got a three-number combination on it, so according to what I see up here. Just think of three numbers that come to you and help your buddy Cecil out. Maybe that'll open it.
427.
427. 427. I think your buddy's helping you out here. You know, sometimes when we're having trouble getting things to work in the kingdom of God, we need to go ask some of our friends what they think about it. 427. Well, you got it open yet?
Wait a minute.
Okay. If what's in there is yours, Cecil.
427.
All right. Look, ask. Uh-oh. Well, you didn't get good advice from your friends. I can see that right now. Don't pay to ask them. It'd be a better idea to ask God. Now, I'm not God, but I'm God over this box. I'm going to give you a number, and you try mine, 483.
483.
We found grace, but we need to access grace. It's no good till you access it. All right? We found try 483 and see what happens. Well, you sure you got it? Look, well, lo and behold, now all that's in there is yours, Cecil. There's something there for your wealth and something for your health.
Well, thank you, Lord.
Okay, get your treasures out of there now.
Sure.
So now, I thank you. Give Cecil a hand. Everybody did a wonderful job. You have to find grace, but then once you find it, you have to access it. Now, how in the world are we going to do that? Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. It'll be on the screen, I'm sure. But you got a Bible. You big and nice to make sure you know that's in your Bible. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have, y'all with me, we have access by what? Faith. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Faith is the access into the grace. You access. How did Noah access God's grace? By hearing from God, and when you hear, faith comes. And then by faith, but faith without works or without corresponding action is dead, being alone. Dead faith won't do anything for you. Dead faith is just mental assent. You can say, well, you know, I didn't spend a long time receiving an offering like Pastor Robert. I just said, the Bible says give, and we ought to, so give. But but sometimes we need to have a little bit more explanation than that. But we access it, if you don't put action with your faith, you don't really believe it. You can quote and say, well, praise God, I believe Malachi chapter 3, bring your tithes and offerings in the storehouse. God will open the windows of heaven for you. You got a blessing so big you can't handle it. And I believe Luke 6:38, which says, give and it shall be given to me, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running up. I believe God will give me back, bless me back with more than I gave. And we'll say, well, can you give into this offering? Well, no, I'm on fixed income. Well, we're trying to get it fixed. We're trying to get your income fixed, but you have to listen to the word and you have to put action with what you're claiming to believe. Because see, if you really believe that, they would have to hold you back from giving. If you really, really believe that. Now listen, God will make you smart. Some people, God gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Some people make two mistakes. Some of them eat their seed, but there's others that give away their bread. If you believe in God that you need $300 to pay the light bill, and you've been praying and you believe it, and then somebody comes up and hands you $300, and then you send it off to somebody on the TV, you just gave away your bread. God just sent you that $300 to pay the light bill with. Now, you need to give, but that was not for the give. That was not the bread. That was the bread. That wasn't the seed. Okay. I could preach a sermon about everything the time I open my mouth, and I don't need to do that. It was accessed by grace into faith. Now, let's look at Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I preached a shortened version of some of this same stuff last week down at the Burmese church with Pastor Mung Pi, that some of you know about. And he was interpreting for me. And it's the first time I ever ministered with an interpreter. It starts out being difficult, and then when you do it a little while, you can kind of get into the flow with it. But I had to really abbreviate this and keep it simple, because when you're working with the interpreter, And you know, people that speak a different language, they don't always understand your humor either. I mostly had to take all that out. I didn't even tell them about Andy. Okay? But in Hebrews, I was looking at Ephesians right there, Hebrews, in chapter 11, you know these scriptures. I could have just quoted them to you, but let's see, make sure they're in your Bible. Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Him is God. For he that cometh to God must believe. And it tells you two things you must believe. You must believe that he exists. Well, everybody believes that. I mean, even atheists believe that. If they didn't believe that God existed, they wouldn't be so afraid of him and trying to get everybody not to talk about him. And it scares them, but they know he exists. But then the second thing you must believe if you're a faith person and want to please God with your faith is you must believe that he is a rewarder of them, of certain people. He's a reward. Now, when that flood came, how many got rewarded? Noah and his family. Why? Because he found grace. How did he find grace? He was seeking it diligently. And then he accessed the grace by doing what God told him to do. He said, you must believe that God rewards those people that are diligently doing what? Seeking him. Seeking, you will find. If you seek, you will find God's grace. If you seek, you will find God's. Verse 7, but by faith Noah, here he is, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, that's reverential fear of God, reverential respect of God, he prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. And I have asked this question. I've asked it in here in the past. And I've asked it in a lot of churches. Read that scripture and then say, I ask them, what was it that saved Noah and his family? So let me hear what your answer is. It was grace by faith. But specifically what saved him, what the Bible says saved him was, He prepared an ark that saved them. It was the boat that saved them. Y'all, you did good. That's good. It was his faith. But it was the product of his faith. It was what he did with his faith that saved him. He could have heard from God. And when you hear from God, man, you get a shot of faith. You think it's faith. And then he could have done like a lot of people do. He could have heard from God, and then he could have written a book. God talked to me. And he could have told them all about God talking to him and telling him what to do. He could have gone on the 700 Club and told his story about God talking to him. He could have put it on Facebook. Got a lot of hits, man. A lot of shares on Facebook. God talked to me. Everybody's like excited about hearing how God talked to you. And then finally, though, it starts raining real hard. And water coming up out, gushing up out of the ground. And water, how high is the water? Mama's getting deep. And what's going to happen now if he didn't build the boat? He's going to drown. He's going to drown with everybody else because he didn't put action with his faith. He didn't access the grace by acting out in faith on what God had spoken to him by grace. This isn't too complicated, is it? Noah, grace. Did grace build the boat? No, grace didn't build the boat. Grace just gave the plan. In other words, when I say did grace build the boat, I could ask it this way. Did God build the boat? Now, he knew but Noah needed a boat to survive. But he also knew that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And he also knew that God rewards those who are diligently seeking him. Why? Does he reward them just because they're seeking? No, they have to seek to find what they need from God. If he don't spend time walking with God, he's not going to spend much time talking with you. Okay? Grace didn't build the boat. The boat was built by Noah, and it was the product of his faith, and it was the result of putting works or action with his faith. Grace with no boat or no faith, no living faith, and they would have drowned. I've said in the past, I think I preached a message with a title like this. Grace with no boat won't float. Grace with no boat won't float. All right? Noah and his family were saved from the flood. They were delivered from danger and suffering, and that was by grace through faith. By grace he heard from God. Through faith he built the boat. There's no salvation. There is no salvation in grace alone, and there's no salvation in just faith alone. You've got to tap into find the grace of God. Now, it's not that he hadn't hidden it from you. The Bible says, by the way, that God hides away things for his children, not from them, but for them. Why didn't God just give everybody the grace to start with without anybody having to look? Well, he's God. He knows how he wants to do it. But I'll tell you, part of it is the same reason if I was going to be going out of town and I needed, Terry's pretty handy with a lot of things. And there was something he said he could help me with by taking care of at my house while I'm gone. And so I get Terry a key and I say, all right, I said, I need this till I leave, but I'm going to hide it outside somewhere and I'm going to tell you exactly where I'm going to put it. See, I'm not going to hang the key on the doorknob and a note that says, come on in and help yourself, because there's a lot of other folks I don't want coming in there. God hides the blessings away for his children, but then he tells us how to find it. but if you don't, if I told Terry that, I could send him a text with that information. If he looked and said, oh, this is Pastor Jim, I ain't got time to read that mess, he wouldn't know where the key was either. Got to spend some time. Got to look. Need to look. You need to find grace. And then I'm just going to do this quickly. Grace needs to grow. Grace needs to grow. Because, and a couple of scriptures really quickly in 2 Peter. We're right there close to it if you're in Hebrews. In 2 Peter and 3. Peter and verse 18 says, Peter writing this, that's the last verse in his second epistle here. He says, but grow. I'm looking to see if I need any backup any before that. But grow in grace. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forevermore. Peter started out this epistle by telling them that they need to grow in knowledge and what they know about God. It says he take your faith, and he's talking about adding stuff to it. Add patience, and then add all this other stuff to it, and add love to it. Keep building on it. Don't just stop where you are. Grace needs to grow. And I believe it was Lester Sumrall. I saw this. Somebody put it out here recently that said, Lester Sumrall said, don't try to believe God for a three-tier wedding cake if you don't have enough faith to believe him for a cupcake. All right? Don't try to believe God to heal stage 4 cancer if you've never used your faith to try to heal a pain in your finger. All right? In other words, I agree. And so sometimes we, baby Christians, it seems like we just, everything we do just works. But it was based on a little old dab of grace that we had found. Just found out a little bit, because see, grace is in that knowledge of God. But then, as we go on, we have bigger challenges, and we need to let the grace grow, which means what? I need to find more of it. What do I need to do? I need to go to the throne of grace. I need to get my Bible open and be reading and studying. I need to be praying. I need to be walking and talking with my Father. And it's kind of like Art Linkletter said one time. He didn't actually raise these kids. He probably lowered them. But I helped some of my two daughters and a son grow up. And so I do know they learned some things from me coming along. But they didn't learn it all on day one. Things that I taught that were valuable. My son quotes me a lot. And now I got 8 grown grandchildren doing the same thing. Papaw said one time. You know, but it's the same way in our relationship with Father God. It's a growing relationship. And then in Luke chapter 2, I'll just tell you what it says, because it talks about Jesus himself, and it said he grew in stature and he grew in grace or favor with God. Jesus, he had to let grace grow. He came, he was born as a baby. He had left all his divinity and all his information in heaven and came here born as a baby and had to start. He had to be potty trained like every other baby. He had to be taught, but you know what? He was an excellent student. He was a quick learner, because we know when he was 12 years old. Now, at 12 years old, Jewish boys are working on what you've heard it called the bar mitzvah. Bar, B-A-R, means in Hebrew, means son of, and mitzvah is the word for the word, the contract with God, the covenant. At that age, when they have learned enough, they become sons of the covenant, or they have their bar mitzvah, all right? So that's actually what was about going on back there, because he had about 12 years old. He had already been studying the word. He knew the word, and these folks, he was in there asking them questions. He wasn't in there instructing those doctors and teachers of the law. He was in there to learn some more. And, you know, he wandered off from his family and was gone 3 days. Back when folks didn't worry about that too much. They know he's back there with some of the kin folks somewhere. And they were amazed at how much he knew. But you can do a little studying about the bar mitzvah even today. And those young men, Jewish boys that are studying for their bar mitzvah, And I think I've got the facts right, but before they get there, they have memorized the first 5 books of the Bible in Hebrew. And you think, well, that'd be easy, because Hebrew was primarily just spoken in the synagogue. They really spoke Aramaic, most of them, on the street. But they could memorize and recite. When we went down to that church last week, the Burmese church, about half of their congregation is kids. They had 28 of them Sunday, and about outnumbered the adults. But when Wanda and I walked in the building, and we were a little early like we need to be, because we didn't, we, you know, coming and finding the place, hadn't been there before. So we walked, we saw the sanctuary there, and there was people in there, and it looked busy, and we didn't know that that was the kids' Sunday school class, and the adults were somewhere else. So we walked in the sanctuary. Every one of those children, little old bitty ones, I mean little bitty kids, came rushing toward us when they saw us with their hands stuck out to shake our hands and welcome us to their church. Wow. They had been taught, not just because I'm coming to preach, they've been taught when you see a visitor come in, everybody greet them, including the kids.
Amen.
And then they called the kids up there to... And they all the kids that were there got up here. Oh, and they were part of the worship team. Little ones like this. Now, some of them won't go back down there and talk to Mama a little bit and come back while worship's going on, you know. But they're clapping their hands and they're singing, man. And most of the time in a language I didn't quite understand, but that's okay. We're worshiping God. And then they had to, I'm talking about, see, grabbing on to grace and growing with it. And then they had the whole bunch of them came back up there right before I ministered and recited the books of the Bible in order, all 66 of them. All those kids in unison reciting the 66 books, but first the 39 and then of the old and then the 27 of the new, went through the whole thing. Little kids. How many would like to get up and do that for me this morning? And then they had a little old boy that I would say was about 9 years old, probably. He came up and recited the 91st Psalm for us. Now, see, there was a guy named Reb Bradley that came to this town a good many years back. It was about the time that, for those of you that know Scott and Shirlene Gray, about the time Haley was born, he came. She was just a little thing. And he was teaching about how to raise your children. It was a several-day seminar. And one thing I remember he said, if an organ grinder out on the sidewalk, you know, you've seen some of them, but probably not in person nowadays. He said, if an organ grinder out on the sidewalk can teach a monkey how to take a tambourine and go around and take up an offering from the crowd, you can teach your kids to walk down the street without misbehaving. But the same thing is true is, children have their minds open, man. They're ready to be taught. And I want to tell you something. In the schools, those spaces in their mind, in a lot of cases, are being filled up with junk.
Yep.
And the church has got a responsibility that we got to beat them to the punch and fill their minds up. And parents, fill their minds up with the Word of God. Right? Pastor Allen, Rod of God Ministries, over in Charlotte. They have a school. This is he's an African-American pastor, and their church is predominantly African-American, and they got a good school over there. And their students consistently over the years have rated in the very top percentage of grades when they take all these tests. And Pastor Allen says that people ask us, what's your secret? He said, it's not a secret. He said, instead of teaching them a bunch of Sodom and Gomorrah, I'm quoting what he said, instead of teaching them what the bunch of Sodom and Gomorrah junk, we teaching them the skills they need to know and math and all that stuff, but we're doing it based on the Word of God instead of a bunch of Sodom and Gomorrah junk. Now, he said that 30 years ago probably, and he couldn't have even envisioned what Sodom and Gomorrah junk looked like in the days we're living in now. All right, so we just need to let our grace grow. We need to grow in grace. Get a hold of more and more of it. Keep doing that. But the big thing is, no matter how much of that you found, you can always access what you got. You can access what you got. And how do I do that? I do it by faith. I step out in faith, believing. In faith, believing. Just came to my mind about the woman with the issue of blood. I'm doing pretty good here. It's not even 1 o'clock yet. I'm not going there. But, you can preach about her, about everything comes up. But she found grace. You know how she found it? It says she heard of Jesus. And what she heard was, I believe what she heard was, because in chapter 3, it talked about how some folks where he was were touching him and getting healed. Now, she had been shut up in her room for about 12 years. Couldn't go out because she had a bleeding problem. And she'd been to all the doctors, and she had spent all her money, and She wasn't any better, but she was just worse. Somebody testified to her or something. All we know is somebody let her know that there's a man named Jesus walking around here. When people touch him, they're getting healed. Well, when she heard that, she found grace. And she said, I'm going to find this man. And we don't know how long it was. It probably wasn't the day she heard that, because when it says, for she said, if I just touch his, she touched his hem of his garment, for she said. And in the Greek, if you look at them verbs and all that, it means that she had consistently been saying that for a while. If I touch his garment, even the hem of his garment. Now see, God didn't say that. She said she decided that. She decided where she could put her faith. If I can just touch the hem of his garment. She could have just as easily said, if I can just touch one of his sandals. If I can just touch his big toe. Whatever. But she had to make contact. And she took herself to where that grace was. But just being there in the crowd, there wasn't any healing in that. The healing was going to be in the touch, connecting to the anointing, if I can just touch. And so you know, we know how the story turned out. She touched, and what happened? She got miraculously healed. She found grace. She accessed it by connecting her faith to it. How do we know it's her faith? Because it's what she was saying. If you're not speaking it out of your mouth, you probably don't believe it. You're not speaking it out of your mouth, you probably don't believe it. Now, you speaking it, you confessing it, doesn't make something happen in heaven. It makes something happen in you. Every time I say that, but I'm setting a condition. My pastor, Lester Robbins, told a story about, along that line, about us setting the conditions of how we're going to apply our faith to the grace. And he said he had a lady, he was Church of God pastor back in those days, and he was preaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And there was a lady from the Methodist church who'd come in to visit. Praise God for the Methodist. And she had a real nice hat on her head. And she was all dressed up and all that stuff. And she was sitting in the back of the church. Real dignified looking lady. And see, she, next thing he knows, he's having the invitation. She comes crawling, this dignified lady, somebody special in town. She came crawling down the aisle on her hands and knees. And he asked her later, why did you do that? She said, well, I heard you preaching about that. I'd never heard about that before. It sounded so good to me. I told the Lord, Lord, if you would give me that, I would crawl on my hands and knees down to the altar and get it. And the Lord said, well, get to crawling. Now, God didn't set that condition. She did. But that released her faith. Now, see, you might not have to do that. You don't have to get on your hands and knees and crawl. But you decide what you need to do to take your faith and get a hold of God's grace. And then believe and speak with your mouth and believe that the word of God is true and the power of God still works. All right? I'm just going to give you an opportunity right now. Give you an opportunity right now. Anybody needs prayer? Some of you got stuff. And listen, even if you've got things going on and you're already settled in your mind that what you've done what God wants you to do and all that. But some people probably got an idea this morning that it's a good time. I think the Lord had me teach this message and put grace and faith together like that. You found grace. You're here. My Pastor Robbins also used to tell folks, and he did this by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, having an invitation. He would say, grace is here. Don't let grace pass you by. Don't let grace. Grace is the operational power of God. Grace is what heals you. Grace is what saves you in the sense of getting ready for heaven. And I want to say, first of all, if there's anybody here this morning that does not know that you're in the place with God that you need to be, maybe you've never made a confession of Jesus as your Lord, or maybe you have, but you know that your walk with him hadn't been what it ought to been. I heard Mylon Farber, it was an old testimony on a YouTube. He said something that spoke to me, because my life was kind of the same way. His was something happened at age 37. In my case, I was 40. But he said that when I was 9 years old, I gave my sins to God, to the Lord. He said when I was 37, I gave myself to him. Amen. When I was 9 years old, I gave my sins to the Lord. In other words, accepted him as Savior. And I can say pretty much the same thing, because I was about 9 and then it was and a good church member and all that and did that stuff, but I was still holding back. But at age 40, I just had to tell the Lord, you can have it all. Amen. Anybody that needs that, You don't have to tell us your whole story to do that. Or lingering problems that's been going on, and faith has risen up in you this morning, and you believe that I'm going to go up there and I'm going to get hold of the grace. Now, I'm not the Lord. I'm not his tail, coattail, whatever. But I've just ministered the word of God, and I believe there's an anointing right now that's ready to be transferred. Whatever kind of situation problem you're dealing with, just come on, the altar's open. And all the rest of you, have your faith hooked up with these folks that are coming. And I tell you what, I believe the Lord said me to do. I'm just going to hold my hand out right there. Bible says believers lay hands on the sick. We know that there was times when Jesus put his hand on somebody with his nose. There's other times when people got a hold of him. And so I'm just going to lay my hand out there. And when I get ready for you, I want you to just reach out there and get a hold of that hand. And we believe an anointing will be transferred. It's not in me. It's going to pass through me in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the flow of the supernatural healing, delivering power of God. Lord, I know Randy has been through a bunch of struggles. The enemy has done some mess to him. But Lord, he's a victor. He's not going to live in a defeated life. They learned some things in the natural this week. I believe we're going to solve some of his problems. Got some mold in his house. I believe you opened that up for somebody to be able to figure that out and take care of some things in the natural realm, Lord, but in the supernatural realm. In the name of Jesus, we bind every demonic spirit that would even come and try to harass Randy, try to bring confusion, try to bring fear, try to bring panic. And in Jesus' name, Father, we speak deliverance. Deliverance in Jesus' name, Father God. Let the word of God, this man has been sitting and listening to the word of God for years. Lord, he knows you're the healer. He knows you're the deliverer. And he's just grabbed a hold of some of your grace here with his faith. And in Jesus' name, things are changing right this very minute. And he's never going to be the same again as he was in the past, Lord. And we thank you for it and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, just lift your hands and worship the Lord. Tell him, thank him for healing and delivering you. Step over to the side and just keep on doing that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, you come for it. In Jesus' name. I don't need to know, just receive whatever it is. In Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Shada makanda makandi de pashando ho. Krenda basanti lena kianda sanama. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah. Let the power flow, Father, in Jesus' name. From heaven. Through me, out this hand into Terry, Father God, that he's grabbed on. There's a faith connection there. Faith and a grace connection. And it's working. And it's working. Hallelujah. 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 Go over and lift your hands and worship God and thank him in English a little bit too. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Wait a minute. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for my friend, Lord, and your servant. Father, and the enemy has been on his trail. And we know that, Lord, and we know where the problem is. We know who's up to this, Lord. Not because of something he's done wrong, but because of so many things he's done right, Lord. Got the enemy stirred up. And in Jesus' name, and the church agreeing with us too, in the Jesus' name, and the church agreeing. We're about to make a grace and faith connection right here, Father. When you're ready, you take that hand, Pastor. We're about to make a grace and faith connection in Jesus' name and thank you for healing, delivering, power flowing into this body, Lord. Joints being set right, Father God. Problems being taken care of. He gave me a list of them yesterday, Lord. You knew all about them things before the doctor ever named them in Jesus' name. Some of them, she might have even been wrong about her diagnosis. We don't know, Lord, but you're the physician of the whole thing. Wholeness. Wholeness. Spirit, soul, and body in Jesus' name, Lord. Healing power. Healing, delivering power flowing in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, you said in the word of God that you give your beloved sleep. You didn't say unless or except in this going on and that going on, Lord. You said you give your beloved sleep. You said in another scripture, Lord, that your sleep would be sweet. And so thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord, tonight. Tonight, Lord, some good, sweet sleep he hadn't seen in a while. And we thank you, Lord, that the enemy is defeated. God, your power is loosed in him. And we thank you for it, and we praise you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, we agree, amen, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your healing. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, Father. Hallelujah. Faith and grace working together, Lord. God, your grace is right here. Grace is right here by faith. Lord, by faith. Cecil just took a hold of that grace. And power is flowing right now. Power is flowing right now in Jesus' name. Healing, deliverance, solving problems we hadn't even thought about. Hallelujah. Gonna walk out of this place today realizing, Lord, something's different. Something's different. Something's different. We thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for his love for you and his love for the Word of God. Hallelujah. Let grace grow in him and abound, Father. Hallelujah. We thank you. If you've got some instructions for him, Lord, he probably doesn't have a boat to build, but he might have something to do. I believe he does. And he's going to be faithful to do it, whatever you speak to him, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
I'll stand in for Randy.
All right, we're going to agree for Randy.
Yes, I'm gonna, thank you,
we're gonna,
Father.
We're going to speak anointing into Jackie's hands, and then
thank
she's going to take them home.
Yes.
And this is a corporate anointing of this church. Now, not just about me, but it's the Lord working through this entire church. Y'all are in agreement. We love her husband, Randy, and he's gone through some stuff and a lot of pain.
Yes.
He loves the Lord. We're going to speak anointing into Jackie and into these hands that will be released as she goes home.
Thank you, Lord.
And we thank you, Father God. Thank you for the transfer right now of anointing.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Transfer of anointing right now, Father God.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank
Hallelujah.
You, praise
healing,
you, Lord.
Delivering power, Father.
Yes, Lord. No lack.
Hallelujah.
Thank you,
in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Now,
thank
when you get home, tell him grace is right there.
Okay.
And let him get in faith and grab it.
Okay.
Amen. All right.
Thank
praise
you.
God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Y'all stay up here and worship or sit down or whatever you want to do when you want to. So, yes, ma'am. What are we dealing with briefly?
The next step, the next phase.
Good.
I'm ready.
All right. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for Judy. She's an able minister of the Word of God. Thankful for her. She's in a church where a pastor lets gifts be exercised, and he had thought of letting her open service up this morning. That's a good thing. She's got way more than that, though, for her next step, Lord. Her next steps are way more than that. That's big, though. That's good. That's important. I did it for about 18 years, just opened a service for another man. And just thank you, Lord, for blessing her. She's served and done so many things in so many ways, Lord, but it's not about that. It's about your grace, and it's about her faith, Lord. And so right now, in the name of Jesus, she has taken a hold of grace. And in that grace, we've already talked about it today, grace is in the Word. Word comes because of grace. Instruction comes because of grace. She's going to hear, the Scripture tells us, and then we're going to apply it here, that she's going to not look to the right or look to the left, but she's going to hear a voice behind her saying, this is the way, walk in this.
Amen.
And she's going to do it, aren't you?
I'm ready.
She's ready, she's going to do it, committed to do it, Lord.
Amen.
We thank you.
Amen.
And praise you in
Jesus'
name. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Anybody else about anything?
This issue with strength, since Charles passed, I don't, nothing to bring it to God. I don't know what more to do. Like a weakness.
Well, you got a whole bunch of people in this room that know exactly what you're going through. I know myself. Good while later, I just might be in the bathroom and just not tear up a little bit. I had to bawl. And it just comes on you, and then it'll pass. And we got a lot of other people in here that's lost a spouse, and they know exactly what that's all about. Time will help you, but I tell you, the Lord will help you. He speeds up the time. Lord, we thank you for Sherry. Lord, I know there's a lot of people in this church pray for her about every day. I know Wanda and I do, and we... Because it's a hard road to travel, Father. But just imagine how it would be if somebody trying to do it without you.
That's right.
And so she knows she has you, Lord. And so she knows she's going to make it. And Lord, one of the things you did was you bore our sickness, but you carried our griefs and our sorrows also. And that doesn't mean we have these times when it hurts so bad. But in Jesus' name, we bind the devil and all of his agents, Lord, from coming around and stirring that stuff up, Lord, needlessly. She can have remembrance of Charles, Lord, and soon it'll get good. And the hurt won't be there like it was. Remembrance will still be there, Lord, but you'll take the sting out of it so bad. She can just rest in being thankful for the year she had with him. But Lord, you know about the process, you know about the time, and you're going to speed it up, Lord, and we just thank you for it. And things you've got for her to do, right now she's probably got her plate full working on just dealing with life itself, Lord, but there's things down the road for this lady. She's prepared. She's studied the Word of God. And you'll open doors when they need to be opened, and you'll close those that need to be closed.
Thank you, Lord.
And you'll send help, and you'll send the messengers when they need to come. And so we thank you for it, Lord, and going to rejoice with her that releasing this into your hands, Father, and get through this process quickly and on to what's next, and on to what's next better than what's now. And what's next after that's better than that. And so we thank you for it and praise you and put a hedge of protection around her and just speak divine peace and joy into Sherry's life, Father. And we thank you that she receives it by faith in Jesus' name. Everybody in the church said, amen. Amen. Praise God. All right. All right. Thank you. Hallelujah. Yes, sir.
Just pray that this tonight will be loose from me. Just extreme,
yeah,
tonight.
That's what we need. Okay. And we had that in the package, but we're going to add an extra dose for that. Major problem right here is tinnitus, which is a ringing of the ears all the time. That's why Randy can't sleep, because the telephone's ringing in his head all the time. And in Jesus' name, Lord, any kind of itis, anything with an itis on it, a child of God doesn't need to have it. That's inflammation. We don't need that. In Jesus' name, we curse that stuff that's going on right there, Lord, as far as the enemy's involvement in it, and I believe there's a lot of that going on. And then physically, anything in the ears or whatever, in the nasal passage or anything else is causing that ringing in the ears in a natural sense, in Jesus' name. And then, Father, I don't know exactly what to pray about this, because you hadn't told me what to pray about this, but you just reminded me of what Romans 8:28 says when we don't know how to pray as well, that the Holy Ghost will make intercession. So, the ringing is going. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Randy, tell it to get out of here. Tinnitus, get out of here.
Tinnitus, get out of here. You're not welcome.
There you go. That's
no place in me.
There you go.
I'm victorious in Christ in all areas.
Hallelujah.
This is shed blood for me.
That's right.
I stand on authority, Isaiah 53:5. With the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed.
Hallelujah. There you go. You keep talking to that stuff as long as you need to. All right, look at here, Randy. You don't have tinnitus. It had you for a while, but you didn't have it to start with. It had you, but now it's gone. It's gone. It'll try to make a comeback. Just do what you just did. When it tries to make a comeback, don't say, here it is again. Tell it to get out of here.
Okay.
Get out of here in the name
get
of Jesus.
Get out of here in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
All righty. We started out Ephesians 2:8-9. This says, by grace are we saved through faith. That not of itself is the gift of God. And not by works, lest any man should boast. But then verse 10 says, which I didn't really bring that out, I saved it. Verse 10 says, but when this happens, we didn't get saved, we didn't get right with God by our works. It was by his grace, which is a free gift, through our faith, which he even had to give us the faith, but we had to put action with it. But then verse 10 says that he has prepared good works for us to do. So we're saved so that we can do the good works he has prepared for us to do. We don't work to get saved, but when we get saved, we'll work. A couple of these people that came up here was about what's God got for me that more that he wants me to do. He'll let you know. Once you get saved, it's not hard to spot you, because when you really get saved, you act like it. In your actions change. My daddy was the town drunk until I was 19 years old. And then he went off to some place to get some help, and he got gloriously saved. And I used to say, and he got delivered of alcohol. Well, he never did drink no more, but then the Lord reminded me one day. Now, he didn't get delivered like you Pentecostals. Didn't nobody get up here and cast nothing out of him. He said, those Baptist folks that got him born again just told him, if you'll accept Jesus, you won't drink no more, and he believed it. And my daddy, he lived 10 years after he got saved and off of alcohol. And when he died, he was the chaplain for the Gideons for the state of North Carolina. Because from the moment he got saved, he had a mission, and that was to go tell people about Jesus. And I used to say about my daddy, you could say anything you said, he could start talking about Jesus. Somebody on the street would say, what time is it? He'd say, no man knows the day or the hour. But I had Wanda with me, and we met a lady that knew us back in those days when she knew my daddy and the change in his life. And so she introduced her grandchildren to me, and she said, this man talking about me, she looked at me, that's where he got. She said, oh, well, I noticed that J.D. Howard was the town drunk. She said, but when he got saved all over. He got saved all over. That's called being born again, right? New creature in Christ Jesus. Any man being Christ is a new creature. Old things pass away, all things become new. All righty. Anybody need to share a little something before we go? We don't have time for me to preach another sermon, but if you got something you want to share. Anybody? We praise the Lord with you for results. Okay, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Appreciate you visitors being here today. Several. And some I've known a while. But anyway, glad to see all of us here. I'm going to pray a little closing prayer. We'll pray for Pastor Robert and all his family for good. He's learned well. You know, I trained him in the ministry a good deal. I must have trained him in life, too, because he posted a picture down at the Walmart in Shiloh, North Carolina, at the beach. And it looked like exactly the same picture I posted in 2014, right after Wanda and I got married. He was back here. You couldn't see him. What you could see was the front of the shopping cart, and there was Sherry up ahead shopping, and he's following along. So...